Well, what a God we serve, what a God we serve.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen, amen. All right, let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one thing, we'll be talking a little bit about Abraham and faith and believing today. You know, October is a time that in the spiritual world, October is a time where spiritually, not godly spiritually, but demonic spiritually, it's a good month for them. If you want to say it that way. This is a time where these evils go on. You know, you have Halloween and you have all kind of stuff going on. Yesterday I was looking at the news on Fox News, and they were showing in Washington just blatantly these witches and warlocks having like a seance type thing, and people were filming them, and they were putting curses and evil upon people's lives, like our new judge, Kavanaugh, our president, and naming, and just, and the host of these, they don't know. The host, they're just laughing like, oh yeah, you know. And I was thinking, that's real. And you see, one of the worst months for ministry in a church is October. Worst month. Worst month. Worst month in attendance in churches. Worst month when pastors resign their churches and leave the pulpit is October. It's not a coincidence, you see. It's a spiritual evil that is going on and trying to attack the church and attack the people of God. And if our foundation is not in Christ and what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, those things can come and discourage men and women in pulpits and have them turn in different directions. And so I want to encourage you, you know, I've said, Lord, help me to up my prayer in October. Help me to come against those things. Because you see, God has given us authority and power. God has given us that authority and that power to come against those things and bind those things. The scripture says, whatever you bind on earth, it will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose upon the earth, it shall be loosed in heaven. So we have the authority. The child of God has the authority to bind and loose those evils, those evil things, and disperse those things. Because you see, that those things try to take over countries, communities, families, evil, evil, evil. And so we got to lift up the banner of righteousness and ask the power of God to move and have the angels of God commission to go forth and bring about what needs to come about upon the churches and upon the families and upon the people's lives. So I want to encourage you to pray. Seek God. Ask God to move, especially during this time. Abraham was we call him Father Abraham at times because God has made him the father of the Christian world, if you want to say it that way. And we know Abraham, his name wasn't Abraham from the beginning. It was Abram, and his wife was Sarai. But God changed their names when he made a covenant with them, from Abram to Abraham, from Sarai to Sarah, and the meanings are different in those two names. But we know Abraham had for sure two sons. One of the flesh and one of the spirit. That's how they named it. One of the flesh was Ishmael, and one of promise or of the spirit was Isaac. See, anything that God promises you through the word, or anything that God speaks audibly that coincides with the word of God, that's a spiritual thing for us. God has promised that to us, whatever it may be, that we can claim those things and have those things according to his word, according to the power and the presence of our God. But we know this from the scriptures. I want you to turn in Genesis 16:16. We know this, that Abraham and Sarai, or Sarah, messed up. Now, God is a gracious God, people. Even in the Old Testament, he was merciful to humanity. I tell you, even though he brought a great flood upon the earth, he still was gracious to humanity. You have to look up and see what was upon the earth, and you'll see that he had mercy upon humanity. Genesis 16:16, it says that Abram was 86 years old, that means he was 86, when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Now, we know this was not the son that God had promised them. God had spoken to Abraham and Sarah, and he had promised them that they, Abraham and Sarah, would have a son. They waited and waited and waited, and nothing happened, and they didn't have that son. So they took things in their own hands, you know, and they took Sarah's handmaiden and Abraham, and they had a son, Ishmael. But that son was not the promised son. And you know what? After all that was done, Abraham and Sarah not. You know, sometimes when God will speak things to us, and we think, okay, Lord, I know what to do. And sometimes we make some mistakes. And this was a big mistake. They made a mistake. They went out of the boundaries or the line that God had set for them. God promised them something. And God was waiting to the appropriate time to give them this son. To give them the son that he had promised them. But God is a merciful God. People, look at this. Merciful. Look, starting at that next chapter, look how merciful God is. In chapter 17, now remember, these chapters were done by mankind, okay? But in the next chapter, or the next verse, look at this. Now, and when Abram was 90 years old, okay, I'm going to stop right there. Verse 16, he's 86. Chapter 17, verse 1, he's what? 90. How many years is that separating? 4 years. 4 years, Abraham and Sarah went through horror and torment because they knew they missed God. Abraham and Sarah knew that when that son came forth, and really was considered their son because the handmaiden, they owned her. But that was not what God intended to happen. It was to come from Sarah's body and Abraham's body. That's the two that God said would come together, and they would have the promised son. But they concocted a strange event and had things happen that went the wrong direction. And Abraham and Sarah knew it. And for those 4 years, because that's a lot of time period, it doesn't say that God spoke to Abraham from 86 years of age to chapter 17, verse 1, at 90, for 4 years. Can you imagine what this man and this woman went through? Knowing that they missed God, that this was not right. They knew it. But for four long years, God let them stir in their agony to learn some things, people. To learn that you can't go against the boundaries of God. You got to stay within the limits of His Word. And what He says to do, we do it. And what He says not to do, we don't do. And we feel that way sometimes too. We know sometimes we made mistakes. Oh my God, Lord, I went in the wrong direction in this area. Father, forgive me. Forgive me. But let me tell you this. Thank God we live in the period of grace. Because today, in the church age, they didn't have that back then. Too much. But God had mercy upon Abraham. Because in chapter 17, verse 1, look at this. It says this. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, that's, I'm sorry, the Lord appeared to him. And said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply your seed you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, look at this. When you come humbly before God, God's mercy and grace is there. Here we see Abram fell before God, his face. He fell before him, and God came in and renewed a covenant with this man. Renewed a covenant with this man. How great is our God, people, that He will renew the covenants that were made between us. Even though we may go astray, God is still there waiting with that covenant, saying, Joe, come back now. Or put your name in there. And as we come back, He says, look, I've made this covenant with you. This is what will happen. Look what will happen. Look what will happen. As we solemnly humble ourselves before our God, and the Almighty God comes in and helps us and is with us. And it says, and as for me, verse 4, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father to many nations. Neither shall your name any more be called Abram, which means exalted father, but your name shall be called Abraham, the father of multitudes. For a father of many nations have I made you, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant. And to be a God unto you and to your seed after you. And I will give unto you and to your seed after you the land wherein you are a stranger, the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. There's a correction I need to make, and I'm seeing it right now. I'm sorry about what I said. In verse 1, and I will get to that. And it says, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, that means 99, not 90. And I apologize for that. But when I see something, I always like to, because probably you would look and say, where do you get 90 from? 99. But can you imagine the horror that he felt? So if you're looking at it 10 more years, how much more horror of 99? You know, and God came in when he was 99 and made and renewed that covenant with him. What a great God we serve. What a great God we serve. And I apologize for that, looking at that again. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 through 8. God makes a new covenant or renews that covenant with Abraham. What a God we serve, people. When we make mistakes or we do something or we say something, God is waiting over here on our behalf. He's saying, come on, Joe, come back. Come on, Joe, come back to the cross. Come on, Joe, come back to where I can forgive you. Come on, Joe, come back. And look, when we fall upon our face before God, God is a faithful God. When he sees a heart that is broken before him or that is humbling before him. He will come in. He will send the Holy Spirit to minister and to help that individual. That's the grace and the mercy of our God. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. In Genesis chapter 21, if you would turn there, please. Look at starting with verse 1. The promise of our Father towards him. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. At the time that God spoke it, it came about, people. Don't give up on the promises and the things that God has spoken to you about. You know what they are. You've written them down. Don't go beyond that. Say, Father, I will believe. I will believe. I will have faith to believe that it will come about no matter what. Sometimes we can get lost in this world and we think, where am I, Lord? But God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us, no matter how old we are, no matter how young we are. God has a purpose. He's a purpose-driven God. He has a purpose for us. He has a plan for us. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. And look at verse 3. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore to him Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God has commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God has made me to laugh, so that all who hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abram that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. What a God we serve that keeps his promises to people. God, and you need to get this, keeps his promises. If God has spoken to you things, and I know he has, for future things, you keep those promises. You pray over them every day. You say, Lord, build my faith to believe. It took approximately 14, 15 years or so from that time to Abraham and Sarah had their son. Starting in chapter 17. You might say, why did it take so long? Honestly, I think it was Abraham and Sarah's fault. God had to build their faith to believe. God may have wanted to give it to them whole much sooner, but God had to build their faith to believe. God had to get them to a place to believe him no matter what. I mean, look. Let's face it, that was a hard thing. It's like, what? But God said Sarah, who would be 90, would have that child. And Abraham, who's 100, would father that child. That's miracles, people. That's miracles by God. But God is in a miracle-working business, people. Look. We can believe our God, we can stand strong in his word, and his word will come true to us. When God speaks, God says, believe. Look, what else are we to do? When God speaks through his word, or when God speaks through his spirit on the inside of us, as we're praying and seeking God and whatever, and God speaks something to us, when God speaks, we believe. And Lord, build our faith to believe that word, Lord. Build our faith to believe that word. When God speaks, we believe. And Father, build our faith so that we can believe that word that he's spoken unto us. You know, look, how much more does God want to do in our hearts and in our lives? I think we've only touched a little bit of what God wants to do and how He wants to use us in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, God is saying there's no bystanders. There's no bystanders. We're all to proclaim the word of God because Jesus is coming. It says in Hebrews that we're appointed once, you know, to live, then we die, then there's judgment. I think that's in Hebrews 12:29, something like that. We live, and then there's judgment. Anybody say, what kind of judgment? God says we live, we're appointed once to live, then there's judgment. For the sake of the judgment was taken at the cross. We come into the kingdom. If we're not saved and we have not accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, there is a judgment that is coming, the great white throne judgment, which will be a horror of an event. I don't want to be there. I don't think it will be with us. Too painful. But God has appointed once for man to live and to die, and then there's a judgment. So we don't have to worry about, you know, what's going to happen when we die. We're going to be with Him. Doing the things that He calls us to do. Doing, being with where He's at. You know, having the supper. Having all kinds of things going on. But it says Abraham believed God. And I want to get to that scripture. Believe God. Look at this. Genesis 15:6. And he, talking about Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. Can you imagine? Look at this. And he, talking about who? Abraham, believed in the Lord. Okay, now, we look at that, it took a long process to get him to believe. To believe what God wanted to do. But it was counted into him for righteousness. You know, we think of righteousness, man, somebody that's righteous, you know, it's like they walk the narrow straight path. And God says, he who believes in the Lord, it is counted unto him for righteousness. Totally, kind of totally different. He who believes in the Lord and what he can do, and what he has promised him. God speaks. We believe. And we let faith rise up within us to believe that word that God spoke to us. That's righteousness unto God. See, sometimes the way man looks at things is distorted than how God looks at things. God says, believe me. Believe my son. He's the only door to heaven. You know, I was listening to somebody, and they were talking about the tabernacle, you know, the tabernacle that was built. And the front of the tabernacle, the doors of it were huge and wide. Wide, like as big as this width of this building, from what I could understand. And they were saying, why did God instruct them to build that tabernacle? Where the presence of God would be with such big doors. It does not make sense. You know, the tabernacle was kind of big, but not that big. I mean, you know, the outer courts, the inner courts, and the most holy of holies. But the doors were huge. That's like having this building and the doors are 4 or 5 times as big as what we have to go in and out. That does not make sense. Does not make sense to us. But to God, he says, open those big doors because all is welcome in the kingdom of God. All is welcome. He's saying, I want them, because he told them how big, how high, how long, how was so big to go in because everybody was welcome. It typified the cross of Calvary. How big and how wide that tabernacle doors were to worship. That all is welcome in the kingdom of God. And that's why God says to go and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Because it's open to anyone who will believe me. It's open to anyone who will believe what I can do. Let me tell you, let God build your faith in the things that he's called you to do and the things that he's spoken to your heart about. Let him build your faith to believe. To believe God that he can walk upon and walk and do the things that he wants to do. That the Spirit of God, by the anointing and the presence of the Holy Ghost, can go and convict our family members and draw them in by the Spirit of God. Sometimes I think we believe God can't do it. Now, is that what's stopping the Spirit of God from moving? Lord, build our faith to believe. Lord, build our faith to believe. Lord, build our faith to believe. When old Saul was attacking the church, those churches knew that when Saul, now who was named Paul, he would go into houses, and we know that, and pull people out of houses, have them killed and burned and stoned, and he thought he was doing the will of God. But those churches got wind because he had taken some of their family members and maybe even them and tortured them. And they started praying for Saul, believing God that he could change his life, believing that God could move upon him. It's not just by happen chance that Paul got saved. It's because God put it upon the hearts and upon the church and the heart of the church to pray for him. Prayer makes a difference. Prayer changes things, people. We got to believe our God that he can do the impossible. That he can raise up men and women that will stand up for the things of God and not buckle down under pressure from the world. But that will have a backbone to stand for the things of God and the righteousness of God. That will stand up for what's right and truth, people. My God. And all of a sudden we see Saul coming with riding on that horse with a bunch of men going to Damascus. And all of a sudden, it says the light shined. It was the glory of the Father, people. It wasn't the sun that we see. It was the glory of the Father that shined upon him and knocked him off that horse. Because when he got up, he said, Lord, God saved right there. My God, what a God we serve. If God can do that to Saul and change his name to Paul, let me tell you, he can do that for your family members. He can do that to your children. He can do that to your husband or to your wife. That's the kind of God we serve. Whatever it takes, Lord. My hands are off, but Father, whatever it takes. We need to get down to some business of praying and seeking God and saying, Lord, move upon them and change their lives, Lord God Almighty. Whatever it takes, Lord. Wouldn't it be bad if they lose everything upon this earth? And their soul gets saved and enter into heaven, but and have everything upon the earth, but lose their soul. Now, nobody wants to lose anything. We don't want to lose nothing. But Lord, whatever it takes. As I pray for people, I always say, Lord, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, Lord. I don't care what it takes. Whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, Father, do it. Come on, people. Let's pray for these people. Lord, whatever it takes. Lord, whatever it takes for the community of Gaydon to get saved. Whatever it takes for the community of Capitol and the Mayor Pastor. Whatever it takes, Lord God Almighty. Lord God, help us. Help us to win these souls for the kingdom of God. Look, Abraham believed. Lord, raise up our level of faith to believe God for the impossible. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, people. Matthew chapter 15. The healing of the daughter of the Canaanite. It says this in verse 21. And Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And verse 23, And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and sought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. Now I want to stop just for a minute right there. Here we see a lady, common, a Canaanite. She's a Gentile. She's not Jewish. Gentiles like us, the Jews, they're probably stupid. They think of us as dogs, people. I mean, you know, now in America, we take care of our dogs for the most part. I mean, you know, it's like kids to these people. You just want to hit them, those dogs, sometimes, as they bark. You know, spray them a little bit. But you don't do that. You just give them a treat, you know, whatever. And dogs are good, and cats are good. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. All those animals were good. But in back then, dogs were not, that's trash. That was trash. And this Canaanite woman came to Jesus, and she was desperate. Her daughter had a demon spirit that was attacking her and destroying her daughter's life. And she came to Jesus, and she said these words. She said, and cried at him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. She was approaching Jesus in the wrong way. She approached him in the wrong way. You might say, well, wasn't he thou son of David? Yes, he was. But she was not to address him that way because she was a Canaanite. She was a Gentile. When Jesus came upon the earth, he came for the Jews, the Jewish people. Now, we know he died upon the cross for everybody, but he came for the Jewish people, and he was speaking to them. So when she approached him, he didn't even answer her. Now, we would think, God, was Jesus rude? Hey, Jesus never sinned. See, Jesus followed the protocol of the Gospels. Jesus never diverted or went in the wrong direction. So when she came and approached him, he could not do what she asked until she changed. And that's just like us now. Now, you know, we've been engrafted into the vine, you know, because of Jesus. But there's still protocol, people, in addressing and going to the Father. Now, I know I've taught you this before. As we pray, we're to pray to whom? The Father. It says that in Scripture. Our Father. Even Jesus said, go to the Father in my name. We are to pray to the Father because he is the one that is in control. We're not to pray, to the Holy Spirit, you know. We don't pray to the Holy Spirit. We pray to the Father through the name of Jesus, asking our requests or our petitions. Now, look at this lady, and her heart changed. I don't know what changed it, but it changed. And it said this. And he entered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She changed. She didn't say, thou son of David. It changed, people. Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. She was agreeing with him. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You think the Holy Spirit helped her to say those words? I know it. She said, Even the masters, she's talking about the master, the Jewish people, as they're eating their bread, crumbs fall upon them. Even the dogs come, talking about Gentiles coming, and the dogs eat of the crumbs under the tables. And he said, Who? I've never seen such faith. See, faith, belief turns into faith. Faith turns into believing. As Abraham had said that he believed, she had faith. Two in the same, people. Two in the same. sheep. And it says that God, Jesus healed her daughter, and she went on her way. See, we got to approach the Father the right way. The right way. And when we do that, let me tell you, things will change in our families. Things will change in our homes as the power and the presence of God comes into a place. You see? Who is in charge? The Father. It says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Yes. There are three different entities, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but yet they're all one in the same. Perfect unity, like the earth has never seen before. Perfect unity. So we pray, we go, we say, Lord, Father, we come to you through the precious name and blood of our Lord and Savior, Lord. And Father, we come through the precious name of Jesus, and you make your petitions. You make your petitions, and you see what the Father can do as he leashes out the Holy Spirit to start helping us to get and do what he desires and wants us to do. The Holy Spirit is here. The Father's in heaven. Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father. It's the Holy Spirit that's roaming the earth. Now, there are angels all around this place that have been commissioned by the Father to come upon the earth, to bring answers to prayers, to help God's people. You see, when we pray, Lord, we come against these evils and all that, those angels up there are defeating the enemy on our behalf. Not for them, but on our behalf. That's the power of our God. Lord, help us to believe like Abraham. Lord, build our faith up like this Canaanite woman to believe God for the impossible, people. To believe God that he can do what he needs to do upon this earth and to get the job done. You may stand, please. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we give you praise and honor and glory, my Lord. We give you praise and honor and glory. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Just want to make sure, as every head is bowed, every eye closed, do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you have not accepted him and you'd like to do so, please raise your hand so we can pray with you. Very same, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life to the Lord this morning. If you'd like to do that, please raise your hand so we can pray with you. I see your hand. Thank you. Let's all pray together, okay? Facebook friends, as they look this way to pray, say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I rededicate my life to you this day. I ask you to lead me, to guide me in the right direction. I declare you Lord over my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may look this way. Look, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you guys. We thank God for you and we love you. And we pray you have a great week this week. Amen. And we'll see you next week. God bless you. You are dismissed.